host, Randy and Jesse.
Yeah, yeah.
But Doc and I have become, we are the same person. We have really been conjoined and we have merged into the same person, so much so that we are now competing for bits. I mean, it's to the point where we have the same ideas and it's who's going to tell who first about the idea. I mean, we are the Peaches and Herb of internet radio. So, I mean, I just wanted to let everybody know that because I know you don't hear him all the time on the show, but he does so many of our drops and he does all our graphics and he is, you know, definitely, you know, part of the brains behind this crazy show here. But another reason why I'm bringing this up.
He's the man behind the curtain.
But guess what? Guess what, people? Guess who we are going to have in studio next week.
You didn't even tell us this before we started.
Well, if you got onto your Facebook page, you'd he never ever logs onto his Facebook. What's going on? Anyway, Dr. Ivan himself.
Dr. Ivan is coming in.
Will be in studio October 5th. Along with, this is like, we are really hitting it big because we also have Al Rosenberg in.
Same day?
Same day.
Are they coming together?
No, they're not coming together. But they will both be here in studio October 5th, and I am just thrilled because I haven't seen Doc in a few months, and I'm looking forward to catching up with him in person. He promised me a foot rub. And, of course, I always look forward to seeing Al Rosenberg. I want to give out the phone.
You know who I think we got to get in here? We got to try to get that crazy old man. What's his name? That Max guy.
Oh, God. You know, you had to bring him up. Look, I know it's a Jewish New Year, you know, but you had to bring him up. I'm sure he's listening. I haven't checked my Twitter page yet, but I'm sure I've gotten a tweet. You're referring to our first show, I think, right? It wasn't our premiere show.
Yeah, that's the first one. That creepy old guy.
A stalker, I guess you would say. And, well, no, I don't want to go as far. Unless I find him outside my house, God forbid, then I'm not going to call him a stalker. But he's stalking me on the internet. He is, his name is Max. And apparently his son Herman had set him up a Facebook page. God knows why. I guess, you know.
Probably to stop him from calling him.
Right. Exactly. Yeah, keep him busy.
Yeah.
And he somehow or other stumbled onto me. And he's become a big fan. And he called us the first show. And he had a few things he wanted to say to Randy. And
it wasn't nice. I'm going to tell you that now. It wasn't nice.
Yes. No, I don't know.
I didn't like it.
But
I don't like him. I'll go on record. I don't like him.
But I now that you brought him up, but I want to just switch gears a minute because I want to, of course, introduce everyone to Jesse. Jesse, for those of you who don't know, I went to school with Jesse. He was an intern or still is an intern for Preston and Steve, or you were an intern?
Was, yeah.
Was, okay. And you also host another show on Volta.
I host the Stir Fry Music Revival. It's on Volta here. We do it Sunday nights.
And you have a festival coming up, from what I understand, correct?
Yeah, this weekend. It's being held in Wingate, PA. It's going to be two nights. We have 28 bands.
Now explain, you have the 28 bands. Explain to the audience exactly, are they bands that people have heard of? Or
yeah, well, it's a big mix of music. It really is a huge melting pot of different kinds of music. We had Koof Knotts on the show, or we played his music last week.
Excellent, yeah, great
he's,
band.
He's
great
one
band.
Of the ones there. Another buddy of mine, this guy, Rock Bottom, he's going to be there. He's like a rap, R&B.
Any of them single? I might just have to stop by.
Yeah, and I mean, then it goes into bluegrass. We have Ivan Neville's Dumpster Funk is going to
be
there.
Oh, nice, nice, okay.
So, I mean, it's a huge thing, and I'm excited because I get to MC.
Yeah, I know you've been doing it for quite some time. So this is that's Jesse, and he also has pet dogs.
Yes, I do.
And he celebrated a birthday, 2 days ago?
Yeah. Yeah, it was yesterday.
Happy
birthday, Jesse. Happy birthday.
I want to say I'm very sorry that you did not get laid for your birthday. I know, I'm sorry. You're looking at me like, well, shut the fuck up. But you know, hey, nothing's off limits here. Right. You have my vibrator as a drop, so I'm going to, you know, look, your birthday can come another day. You know, I'm sure please.
But he can't.
And then there's Randy, of course, to my right, who is a great comedian who I met through, he was so generous, and he played a benefit, or he performed at a benefit we had for breast cancer, and he was kind enough to come out at the last minute, so that's how we met. And you are the creator of a comedy troupe, or
no,
explain to everybody what that is.
I co-produce a showcase in Allentown with my good friend Stephen Bost at the Allentown Brew Works. It's every other Tuesday. Starts at 8 o'clock, and basically what we do is we highlight local comedians in the Lehigh Valley area. You know, guys come out, and about 5 or 6 guys, they'll do like 5-10 minute sets apiece, depending on, you know, experience level, and it's to get them
right.
Their first little taste of is being in front of a non-open mic
which
audience.
Which I can imagine is very scary.
Yeah,
I have a great respect for all comedians and comics performers in general, but especially comedians, because to make somebody laugh, I mean, you know, that takes a lot of balls to get up there and put yourself out there. And, you know, I love that you're doing that, because I do consider the Lolo show the Jack Parr for comedians, for those of you who know that reference. I mean, to me, it's really important.
I'm not familiar with that.
Okay, he was like the Johnny Carson of, what, maybe the 60s? Or the? Are you familiar, Randy? Does any?
Hell no.
Oh, my
well,
God. I got to get some old heads
Jack
in here.
when do we get a golf section on the show?
Google it. Okay. No, not that.
No idea who Jack Parr is.
But anyway, so, and it was also Randy's birthday.
Yes, it was.
They are not twins.
To me.
I just want to make it clear that Randy and Jesse are not twins.
We do look a lot alike.
Yeah, you do.
Yeah, but we're not twins. Not identical.
But so in honor of that, I'm going to completely humiliate and embarrass myself.
Whoa. Oh, nice.
And sing y'all happy birthday.
Oh, thank you so much. Oh, please, yeah.
Jesse, do you have any reverb or anything back there that can help me out?
Birthday music?
I'll just take reverb on my voice. Anything, because not for nothing, but I think these two got me sick. I'm a little mucusy. I have some phlegm coming up, which is, of course, perfect for the Jewish holiday.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm not. Look, my mom told me years ago I was tone deaf. So, you know, she was always, she's actually listening, which I think is awesome, because up until the first Lolo show, she never really listened to anything. I would come home, "Did you listen? Did you listen?" "I couldn't get it on." And then the one thing, she's like, "I had it tuned in, and then as soon as I heard you say pussy, I tuned it out." So
we just lost your mom again.
No, she's hanging in there. So I'm real happy about that. I think it's actually making our relationship a little tighter, because, you know, we've had our problems in the past. But anyway, I'm stalling. Okay.
Yeah, get to the singer.
All right. Okay, yeah. Give me a minute. Let me get some water.
You get no reverb. It's all just all
drum roll.
No drum roll.
No.
Right. Oh, God. I should blow my nose. Wait a minute.
Oh, yeah, that's...
I'm like Art Carney here.
Some people do the...
If there's no nip slip in this song, I'm boycotting it for next year. I'm just saying.
All right. Quiet.
Yeah, we want to... Okay. Dress malfunction.
Quiet. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Jesse and Randy. Happy birthday to you. No applause. Oh, thank you. Did I go too far?
I was stunned. I'm stunned.
I know it would have been funnier if I would have really hit a note.
No. Yeah, that's the best damn birthday song I've had in my life.
Oh, you all are too nice.
It is. I'm not even making that up. That's not hyperbole either.
That's right up there with Marilyn Monroe's.
Well, yeah, that would have been a little more breathy, you know. That would have been...
See, we should have had an air vent under you, blowing air up so the dress...
Yeah, that's a totally different move.
Well, you gave it that vibe without being, you know, completely like a... You didn't take her style. You put the Lolo feel.
What does the dude on American Idol say? You made it your own, or something? Make it your, or somebody says
somewhere
that.
I don't know.
So anyway, we have got a great show lined up tonight. We have comedian Joe DeLong.
Joe DeLong, everybody.
Awesome. We have him in the house. And for those of you who don't know, he is the creator of the No Gag Reflex Tour. And he's actually open for Judah Friedlander from NBC's 30 Rock. So we're really excited to have him in studio. He's got a lot
of... He's met Gaffigan, too.
Yeah, yes, he has. Yeah, yeah. So he's going to... I'm sure he'll have a lot of really great stories to tell us. And we're going to talk relationships as well. And, you know, we're going to share some horror stories. And now that we have each other's phone number, we will be sharing schlong pictures. Because for those of you who don't know, Joe is openly gay. So he and I are going to have some real fun...
I'm glad you specified Joe there, of course, for a second. I don't remember signing up for sharing the schlong pictures.
Well, listen, there was something that I did want to bring up before we get too far into the show, because I'm a little anal. You know, it's very important for me to do a very good show, and I'll listen to the replays, and I want to critique not only myself, but, you know, it's very, very important to critique the show and to make it better. And there were some things that now on the playback that I learned about you that I didn't pick up on, one being that you are into having sex with girls with cotton ankle socks. You said you enjoyed that.
Yeah.
And I did a little bit of research, and you know that there's porn sites that are dedicated specifically to that.
No. I didn't think it was like a specific thing to any porn site. Like, any self-respecting pervert out there knows that in most pornography, women keep their socks on.
Yeah.
Because I think the theory, my own theory is that they're probably in some random stranger's house, gorilla style.
Right.
I don't know if somebody might have dropped a vase there and you don't want to get some object in your foot. Like,
gotcha.
There'll be enough strange objects.
Are you referring to yourself?
On a porn set. No, me personally, why do I like it? I like it because it gives me a hint of, like, you know, it just wasn't planned. Like, just something
spontaneous.
Okay, I follow you on that.
Well, then why not just leave the shoes on, for that matter?
Because the shoes are dirty.
So you're not into, like, the whole lingerie? You don't like the dress?
Oh, absolutely.
Because I can't really picture the lingerie with the petty socks on.
It depends on what happens, you know what I mean? I don't like to plan it out. I don't like to plan it all.
But you do like, well, if a lady friend of yours is interested in, you know, really turning you on, then they're going to put the petty socks. So there's some planning in that. Now we know for the ladies, because, you know, Randy is single.
No, I don't want anybody playing for socks. If you plan for the socks, it's not going to work. The socks got to happen. It just got to happen. It's like one of those things. Like, because when it happened, it was like I was in a relationship every time it happened, right?
Right.
So it would just be like she came home from work, you know what I mean?
When did you discover that you were into this?
Right after I came. Right? That's when I realized. That kind of works for me. When it was like freaking 3 minutes later and she was disappointed and I was really happy.
We're going to open up the phone lines in about a second. Let's see. Let me give out the number again. It's 267-639-3613. So hopefully, you know, one of our callers will... we'll get a caller. One of our fans will call in and we'll discuss this fetish. Can I call it a fetish? Is that okay?
I don't think it's a fetish.
No?
I don't think so. It's just like,
Not an enhancer, as you called it last
week.
Yeah,
it's nice, but I'm very simple when it comes to that.
We have a caller, Justin? I'm sorry, I didn't mean... We have a caller?
Oh, no.
Hello. Hi, welcome to the Lolo Show. Where are you calling from and what's your name?
I'm calling from Philadelphia. I thought I heard you mention me before.
No, goodness gracious.
Yes, Max, we did. And Happy New Year to you, Shana Tova.
Happy New Year to everyone in the studio except for the black man.
Oh.
Go to hell, Max.
He hates me, and I don't know why he hates me, but I'm afraid of black
people. Say racist things, Max.
All right, wait. Now, I know it's hard for our callers to hear. Max, he just said he doesn't like you because you say racist things.
That's not true. I didn't say anything racist. All I said was he was speaking jungle jive and he
said
word.
That's not... What is that?
I don't want to talk about him. I don't want
Max,
to think
listen.
About him. I was sitting here. My wife, Estelle, is out playing canasta at the Schwartz's down the street.
On a high holiday?
Well, you know, they were preparing for the food and everything, so I was left here with the gefilte fish, and you know the gel in the bottle?
Yeah, I'm very familiar with the gel in the bottle. What are you doing with that gel?
I've been experimenting with this for about half an hour. I've been rubbing all around my midsection with it. And I've been looking at your pictures on Facebook.
Oh, okay. Okay, let's bring it back,
but
Max.
Wait a minute. Don't go anyplace. The problem is I was getting an erection, and then you began to see.
All right, let's see if we have another caller. Hello. Hi, Max. Oh, goodbye, Max. I just hung up on Max. Max is... let's... he's a little bit too much for me to handle on a high holiday. We'll
Max,
have to deal
Max
with him.
He was touching himself?
Yes, he did. He was using the gel from the gefilte fish.
Yeah.
Have you ever had gefilte fish?
No, I have not.
You're
no,
very lucky. It's not something it's not something you want.
Is it like a delicacy? Is that the deal?
Well, I guess some Jews must consider it a delicacy. I mean, I personally had it once when I was I was really young. It was grade school. So I don't know. I maybe 10, and I was at a friend's house, so I was kind of forced to eat it because I was at a dinner table, and I was always taught to be polite and just to eat what was in front of you.
How was it?
And it was just like this cold sponge that was floating around in this disgusting,
ew,
clear jelly stuff. And it was apparently, I found out later from someone that you can cook it, but I didn't realize it was raw.
Is it supposed to be cooked, or it could be served either way?
Maybe it could be served either way. I didn't find out until maybe a couple years ago. I was speaking with a friend of mine who's Jewish and very much into the holiday, very much into the religion, and she said, well, you can cook it. And I would imagine that if you cook it, it melts off all the goo and all the jelly, but it looks like it's like floating in snot.
That's disgusting.
It is disgusting, and I can't, unless it's
Did
a tradition.
Did you eat it?
Yes, I ate it, because I was a little girl, and I was sitting...
Was it salty? Was it, what did it...
I don't remember that. I remember it being very, very bland, that's all. But that's about... I don't know why y'all
I'm
find
laughing
that so funny.
Because this is the childish mind of a somewhat adult man. I feel like a kid because we went from Goita, was it salty?
See, went right over my eyes. Sometimes I'm clueless. Well, listen,
Jesse's over there is like slapping his knee on it.
One of the other things that we promised that we would talk about, because. Honestly, the first few shows have been the getting to know you shows, really, because there are, I can't assume that everybody knows my background and understands why I'm doing this, but and my association or not associate, I don't necessarily have an association with the Stern Show, but you know, my love for the Stern Show and my admiration for Howard Stern. So what I want to do is go into some background, because I know a lot of people may be curious that have friended me on Facebook, and I have never really put it out there. I've sometimes written about it in my blog, but I never really put out there you know what I've been trying to do. I would say probably about, I don't know, maybe 7 years ago, I just started a blog, and I was reaching out to people who knew my dad, because he was a broadcaster in the 60s, who was a civil rights activist, and he was very controversial. His career went into down a political route, and he was actually blacklisted from Philadelphia radio, and prior to that, when he was in Boston, he was thrown off radio because advertisers wouldn't have it. They would listen to his program, and you know, at the time he was a socialist, and you know, they were not having that, and it was rough times. And as a result, growing up in that house, you know, I was tortured. The family was tortured. Whose cell phone keeps ringing?
One keep dare you. Went once.
That's the second time.
It's wow.
The first time.
Anyway,
just shut it off.
Anyway, back to my story. So I would say it's, you know, I've always wanted to be in show business. That has been a dream of mine since I was a small kid, but I can't dance and certainly can't sing, especially after my mother told me at like 8 that I was tone deaf. That
you just did a wonderful birthday song.
I was about to say, I don't know about all that. But I like the birthday song. I thought it was very well done.
When I was a kid and I was trying to, I wanted to be in the choir in the worst way, and I'll never forget the teacher. My mother's voice is very high. She actually toured with a singing troupe when she was in college, and my mother's voice is very high. So whenever I would hear her sing, it was always, oh, you know, so around the house or to records or music. She was into the country music. And so when I went out for choir as a child, I'm going totally off subject, but when I went out for choir as a child, I think what we were supposed to do, the, what is that, A, B, C, or no?
The scales.
Or whatever, right, the scales. See, I know nothing. And everything was, I did it very, very high, and I was trembling, and I was just, I wanted it so bad. And the teacher said to my parents, she can't sing. But she wanted it so bad, we're going to put her in anyway. And I think, you know what, that was a total disservice.
You got a sympathy spot?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, they should have just taught me the proper way and found my, would it be my key? I don't know. Right? Wouldn't that have been?
That's how half the people get to where they are, I think. You want it. That's how everybody gets to
Yeah, but I mean, I
want it more than people counts for a whole lot.
I was there's way off scale. Everything was, you know.
Maybe singing's not the best example of that, but as a general rule, I go with somebody that wants it more than the person with natural talent.
Well, I'm glad you said that, because that brings us back to the story about radio. What I wanted more than anything at that time in my life, you know, I felt like there was something missing. I felt like I needed some closure with what had happened with my dad and his radio career. For those of you who don't know, I lost him at a very early age. I was 16. He was shot and killed. My mother and father were fighting one night, and she shot and killed him, and I took a bullet in the leg. And so that was a traumatic experience.
Were you in the same room?
Yeah.
Did the bullet go through the wall, or?
The bullet ricocheted off the wall like a Bugs Bunny cartoon and went up the steps. No, of course I was in the room.
Wow, I got this whole image in my head.
No, of course I was in the room. But anyway,
that sounds like fun.
So what, to me, the real disservice and the real story, because everyone throughout my life from 16 on that I would tell this story to, they were always so fascinated. And, oh, this should be a book. This should be a movie. And it wasn't so much about that particular, incident about the shooting, then it was more about my dad's radio career and what we went through with broken windows and dog poisonings and all that. So this has been a journey for me, a personal journey, not only to get closure, but to become a broadcaster like my father, and to honor him, and to continue his legacy. And along the way, I had become a huge, huge fan of Howard Stern. More so for me, it was about his broadcast career, his career in broadcasting, and what he was able to achieve. And in many ways, what my father went through, I felt was very parallel to what Howard went through in his career. And there were just other things that I related to. So once I finally decided to go to broadcasting school 2 years ago, you know, I set my sights on, I want to work for the Howard Stern Show. You know, a lot of people think I'm nuts. I mean, if I had been a stand-up comedian, I don't think anybody would have thought anything of it. But for me, it was really, really important to work for this man for many reasons. And we have to go to a commercial break. But when we come back, I'm going to go into those reasons. And I'm also going to go into what happened when I first found out that I had an interview with Tim Sabian, who was his program director, and also what Stern staffer that I felt, this is all me, my impression that I felt was trying to sabotage my progress. And we will be right back.
Have you been injured at work and you just don't know what to do? You're stuck in bed, flat on your back. You need that special attention that a large firm just can't give you. Call the law offices of Christopher J. Frelick at 610-693-5520. That's 610-693-5520. Serving Western Berks County, home and hospital visits are available. Get the compensation you deserve. No fee until you win. That's the law offices of Christopher J. Frelick at 610-693-5520.
Do you listen to talk radio?
I listen to NPR. I'm an NPR junkie.
Have you ever listened to Howard Stern or Oprah Winfrey?
I started listening to Howard Stern when I was 9 years old. And I listened to him, you know, pretty much until I moved out of his listening area.
Right.
And then he went to Sirius, and I don't subscribe to Sirius, so I stopped listening to him.
What about Oprah Winfrey? Did you ever watch her or listen to her radio show?
Not much, no.
If there was a show out there that said that they were going to be bridging the gap between Howard Stern and Oprah Winfrey, do you think that that'd be a show you'd be interested in listening to?
Yes, because I think that NPR is kind of all that I know about of talk radio.
Right.
So I don't know if there's anything out there that's well advertised that kind of gives that audience something else to listen to.
Ladies and gentlemen, my name is Michael Shawn, the original Puerto Rican, that stand-up comedian that you need to watch for. When I hit the movies, it's going to be crazy. I don't care if it's a porno on DVD or what. I'm going to make the movies, but I listen to, I watch The Lolo Show. Let me say it again, The Lolo Show. So people, when I'm not at the strip club spending the last penny of my child support, I am watching, listening to The Lolo Show. That's right. If I'm not helping strippers get through college, I'm watching and listening to The Lolo Show. When I'm not with my side chick on a Tuesday late night doing some things I can't talk about, I'm listening to and watching The Lolo Show. Do you understand me? Good. Teamwork makes the dream work. Let's work together and we can all get rich. Okay, I'm lying. She'll get rich and I'll get rich. You'll just enjoy the climb. Thank you.
Oh, jeez, dearie, look what the hell you done now. You done turned on that heave, Lolo, huh? It's The Lolo Show on Volta Radio. Oh, jeez.
Welcome back. We have coming into the studio very shortly comedian Joe DeLong, and our featured artist of the week is very good friends of mine, Sister Blue, who will be, I just found out, October 8th, Saturday, October 8th, they'll be at the Hollywood Tavern in Rockledge, Pennsylvania, if you're local. That's a cute little place. Right, I think it's like right outside of Philly. So you have to check out Sister Blue because she is awesome. She, I mean, not only is she a phenomenal vocalist, but she plays guitar, she plays drums. So
she's got a Janis Joplin thing going on.
She does,
with her.
Yeah. Bonnie, people have compared her to Bonnie Raitt. Her music is very bluesy. It's like a B.B. King style. Yeah. So please, we'll have her coming up shortly. But back to what I was saying before the break. I wanted to basically go into the history of, you know, what it was like interviewing with Tim Sabian and how I got to that. But before I say any of that, I want to point this out. You know, if someone has a handbook on, you know, how to go about working for Howard Stern or any performer or anybody high up in show business, please pass it along to me, because you know, I've gotten, my point is that, you know, plenty of people have criticized or offered opinions, and you know, in show business, I know one thing that I've always paid attention to when I listen to interviews of celebrities is their stories of how they made it or how they broke into the business. And, you know, some are traditional, some are unconventional, but in many cases, a lot of the radio dudes, even Michael Shawn, who we had in our first night,
right,
you know, they'll tell you that they broke into it because somebody gave them a break or somebody heard them. And, you know, and that's really the way, even my father, I mean, as early when his career, he had a show called Right Center Left. And for those who listen to political radio in the Philadelphia area, there was a radio personality named Irv Homer, and he gave him his break. He was a paper hanger, and I think he owned a bar, and he was our neighbor. And he invited him in on the radio show, and that's how his radio career got started.
He really just walked. Did your dad go to school for it at all, or he?
No, absolutely not. He really. I mean, unfortunately, he's dead, so I can't really, you know, unless we do have that seance on Halloween, maybe.
Ooh, yeah. That'll be fun.
But you know, he. I have a tape that we just recently found, and because all his tapes went missing, they actually didn't go missing. My mother gave them to Irv Homer. He since passed away, and no one seems to know where the tapes are. But he wanted to be in it. He wanted to be into radio, and I know he was a boxer for a short period of time. I know he hosted the Miss Philadelphia contest. But this is all I knew growing up. This is all I knew was my father being a broadcaster. At one point he was an investigative reporter. He was framed in Philadelphia. We talked a little bit about that on the last show. Feel free to listen to the replays on my website, loisburak.com. But what I wanted to do is share with everybody the journey. And, so that's basically my background and why it was important to me to pursue a radio career, and more so pursue a radio career and work for Howard Stern. I mean, I can remember driving in to work to the beauty salon. I owned a beauty salon for 25 years. I closed it in February. And I can remember him, you know, talking to his staff and the employees and talking about work ethic and the frustration sometimes he would go through. And everybody loves those stories when he yells at his staff and fires Baba Booey. Everybody loves those stories. But I can remember just the frustration because I knew I was driving into an atmosphere where I was experiencing a lack of work ethic and where I had to deal with the bullshit of, you know, these girls that, you know, didn't even appreciate the fact that they were making a good living in an environment that was fun. And, you know, so it just started to eat at me and get to me. And the more and more I listened to his show and the more and more I heard his personal stories and his professional stories, the more and more I felt a connection to this man. And I just had such a great respect for him. And initially, I wanted to write a book, but I don't write. I mean, I'm a high school dropout. So, you know, I started...
What was the last grade that you went to?
Yeah.
I didn't finish 11th.
Okay.
I was in my 11th year. And I just, you know...
Why did you drop out? Because of the kids harassing you?
Partially that. And partially I was bored. I was always older than everyone else because my father kept us out of school.
Right.
And then the year I was supposed to go...
They kept you out of school.
You can keep a child out, I think, till they're like seven. And we didn't go to kindergarten. He didn't believe in kindergarten. So I think it was, I think I didn't end up in first grade till I was eight. But then I skipped eighth grade. I went from seventh grade right into high school. So I was always just really incredibly bored. You know, I was more or less an entrepreneur, really. I wanted to be an entrepreneur. And
right.
my parents had a film business at the time. But anyway, so back to the journey. I know, I keep saying, somebody just text me. I said that, so now I'm so self-conscious of it. Like, everything, first I'm saying actually too much. Anyway, so along this journey, I do want to point this out too. This is very important to me. Along this journey, and you have to understand, I have not been accustomed to this. They're really in the business, in the salon business, in 25 years, I can only really remember one person that did not expect or want anything from me, and that would be a woman named Nettie Mason, her and her husband, who have been like surrogate parents to me. And, you know, she was always the first to say, every year I got older and older and older, and she would always say, Lois, you're still young, you have to enjoy your life. What are you doing, jerking off over there? What's
I was
that?
Coughing. I was trying not to cough into the mic. Wait,
what's going on?
A man turns his back to you and that's the first
I don't know. I heard, if you would have seen the visual.
It was Nettie. You said Nettie and I went, oh my God.
If you would have seen the visual. Anyway, so back to my story. So I just want to point out that along this journey, there have been many, many people that are in my corner and that want nothing from me other than to see me realize my dream, that have believed in me, even when I haven't believed in myself.
And
I mean,
say a little cleavage.
People, no. The people that I'm speaking of don't even care about that. Like, that's why they need to
everybody
be singled out.
Yeah. Deep down.
Trust me. Everybody cares.
You're ruining
my moment, and I should have some sad music on here, but no. But this, I mean this very heartfelt, because, I mean, like, there are, first of all, Dr. Ivan, first of all, that's one. And number two, I mean, a man that gave me a job and continues to give me jobs, Media Active Inc., if I could throw a little plug out there, and people on Facebook that have been, that are Stern fans that have embraced me. You know, one woman, Anne, she showed up at a gig. I mean, people, they want nothing from me but to see me succeed. There's this woman on Facebook I've never met, Lisa. She's like my biggest cheerleader. I mean, I love these people with all my heart. And this means so much to me because of everything that I went through in that salon, which was a nightmare. But anyway, back to my story. I need a drink of water. I'm starting to...
Are you jerking off over there?
Yeah. Whoa, what are you doing?
Dehydrate from all
that. Well, both my hands are up on the desk, so, but when one goes missing, you'll wonder.
Yeah, but they sell those butterfly panty things that women can wear.
Anyway, can we get back to the story? We only have 2 hours for crying out loud, and we have our guests waiting in the green room. Anyway, so I really wanted to put out there that first and foremost because, you know, I've gotten a lot of opposition. I've gotten criticism and some of my own friends don't talk to me anymore because they just think I'm nuts or, and you know, along the way, not for nothing, but you know, I have nothing to offer anymore. I mean, I remember my manager telling me when she first met me, she came into the salon to get an eyebrow wax and she overheard the girls in the nail portion of the salon saying, oh, invite Lois out. She'll pay for everything. So, I mean, you know, now I'm broke. I have no money. And these people have just been so kind and generous to me. There's a comedy writer, Neil Berliner, who wrote something for my website. I mean, these people have just been incredibly generous to me. And I cannot thank them enough. But that being said, so basically I started out with this book and I tried to I sent the book out to, one of the studios. I can't think of the studio that I sent it to, but, oh God, what's his name? He works with Ron Howard. Grazer. I sent it to him. Okay. Then I've received it back. Not an actual book, but the idea of the book and a diary. Yeah. Kind of sort of a treatment, but at that point I didn't know really what a treatment was. So I sent these things out, you know, trying to get somebody to latch onto this because, you know, for the longest time people were to this is a great story. And then I sat with someone who really was a complete stranger. And he said to me, you know, Lois, this is your story. You need to tell this. And I said, well, you know, I've been thinking about going to broadcasting school. And he said, you really should do it. So I still didn't do it at that point because I was involved with the salon. And then my relationship of 10 years just went kaput. He just woke up one day and he decided, you know, I don't want to be with you anymore.
Now, were there signs to that or is it literally?
No, there weren't signs to that.
Was it literally one day I wake up and like, no. Nah.
Yeah, we were in my accountant's office and we were driving home and I noticed he was acting very funny. And, you know, but I think I mentioned it on the first show. A lot of that, it's really sad, but I'm not going to get into it here because it was really that his family that influenced him. But I'm not even going to get into that now. But so that was more or less like a catalyst. That, and then after I finished broadcasting school, my mother ended up getting breast cancer. So I had all this dumped on me. I have this house that I'm now taking care of, these three dogs. I have all this dumped on me, and I finished broadcasting school, and, you know, and I'm listening to Stern every day, and the more I listen to him, I just said, you know, I want to work for that man. I want to work for somebody who appreciates a strong work ethic. I want to work for somebody who, you know, the bar isn't set at, oh, if you show up for work, kudos on you. I want to work for somebody who really, you know...
Acknowledges.
Not just acknowledges, because it's not about acknowledgement.
You were looking for passion. For
it's
passion
just,
in
yeah,
job.
To work in an environment that, you know, where you're appreciated because you're doing... You know, you really are doing what you love and you're there. And even if you're not doing what you love, you should still have a respect for, you know, I'm sure a lot of people now have respect for work because so many people are out of work.
Right.
But, I said, God, I want to work for this man. And that was really, I mean, you were in school with me, did I not? That's all I talked about, right? I mean,
yeah, everything that we had to do on our classes and all of our rants that we had to do, you had some sort of Howard Stern influence going on behind it.
So I think at one point I did send his agent the same treatment type. And of course, you know, because at that point I didn't even know what I wanted them to do with it. And that's a girlfriend of mine once said to me, well, what exactly do you want from them? And I said, you know, I don't know. This was prior to broadcasting school. So, you know, this is kind of like something, this journey, it was like an evolution of, I'm gonna quote something that Michael Sean said, it was an evolution of a revolution that's brought us, that doesn't really apply.
That's not the quote you were going to use?
No, that's not the quote. So anyway, I finished broadcasting school, and I remember one of our final projects were to not only prepare a resume, but we were to write a cover letter. So I put together a cover letter to Tim Sabian, because I thought, you know, I'm not going to just do a random, not going to do the cut and paste, I'm not going to do it to my boyfriend or girlfriend, or, you know, people were just writing them to just anybody. And, you know, along the way, I found out as well that there were a lot of people that I actually asked for references that knew Tim Sabian. So anyway, I'm putting together this persona, and I'm getting myself out there through Facebook because I'm very low on budget. And at one point in time, I really thought, okay, I'll do a podcast. I'll create a studio, because at that point I still had a little money in the bank. I said, I'll create a podcast. I'll put something together.
Did you get like a big settlement from your dad or something? Like, did he have a life insurance policy?
No, all I got, and this was when I was 16 years old. He was a vet, so I received. But then they tried to take some of that money back from me because I was working. I was 16 years old, and I was making very good money doing nails. And they demanded I give them back some of that money because I was being overpaid. Yeah, it's crazy. But no, that, you know, and that money was long gone. Any little bit of money, I was a couple thousand dollars. Yeah, go ahead.
Well, so what happened to your mom after she shot him? Was there like, was there a trial? Like,
why isn't she in jail?
She went to prison. She got out on bail, and then there was a trial later. We're focusing on the Stern story.
Oh, well,
oh my God. Of course. You want to sensationalize. See, any of the opposition that accuses me of trying to sensationalize the shooting, there you go. Anyway, so I decide that, actually, I did get a lot of advice. And like I said earlier, there's no real handbook. And I did get a lot of advice, and I considered everything. And I said, you know what, I'm just going to keep, emailing and creating this persona on Facebook. So lo and behold, I emailed Tim Sabian through Facebook. And I get an answer back. And he says to me, he'd like to meet me as far as, you know, getting a show. And I basically answered back, don't toy with me. I'm perimenopausal, so don't toy with me, because this is something that I've wanted since day one, right out of broadcasting school. So he puts in the note, contact his assistant and, make the appointment. So sure enough, I call up his assistant. For those of you who aren't familiar with the Stern Show, that would be Jared Fox, who we just found out, if you listen to the Stern Show, is moving on and will no longer be with the Stern Show. Yeah, I'm so sad. So if I do ever get my opportunity to work on the show, I won't be seeing him in the halls, which is a good thing. But now, again, I'm going to put this out there. This is only my perception. I mean, have y'all ever met somebody or even spoke to them on the phone where you've gotten a vibe about them? Or you got the vibe that they didn't like you?
I can read people real quick. Sometimes just a conversation can do it, a facial expression.
So it's not necessarily, it could be my paranoia. I don't know. I don't think I'm that paranoid of a person. It could be, I don't know. I just got the vibe because I called him Tim told me to call up Jared, and I said, yes, you know, Tim instructed me to call you to make an appointment. And he said to me, well, I'll wait until Tim tells me.
Oh, okay.
So,
Jared says his fondest memories of his nearly six.
What were you looking for?
the other one, but that's okay.
No. But unnecessary. Jared's job is totally unnecessary. Jared's job is totally unnecessary. Jared's job is
totally
unnecessary. Jared's job.
Anyway, we kind of messed that up, folks. So basically, I'm now waiting, and I don't want to be a pain in the ass. I don't want to be a nudge, and I don't want to contact him again and say, oh, Jared told me to wait, you know, and go back and forth, so I wait. So then I'm scheduled to do, a few weeks later, I'm scheduled to do Super Fan Roundtable, okay, which is a show that's on Howard 101, hosted by Mutt. And so I shoot him, I say, okay, this is perfect timing. So I shoot him over another email. I say, listen, I contacted Jared. He, you know, I basically told him briefly what happened. And I said, I'm scheduled to do Superfan Roundtable. I thought that would be a good time for me to meet with you. Again, Tim says, that's great. We schedule it. I go into New York that day, and I get there, and I have a present, because I used to always bring presents with me, but unfortunately nowadays I can't afford it. So I bring a present for Tim, and it's in a gift bag, and I go in, and Tim's not there. Unfortunately, he had to leave for another meeting. Now, I don't know, call me crazy, but I would think that it would have been Jared's responsibility to call and cancel, not Tim. I mean, Tim's not going to call and cancel his own appointments.
Jared's job is totally unnecessary. Jared's job is totally unnecessary. Jared's job is totally unnecessary.
So, I mean, and for those of you who do know the Stern Show, I'm going to see, this is all kind of familiar to me, because I'm going to remind you, I'm going to play a clip, and I'm going to remind you of something else that Jared was notorious for.
Jared says his fondest memories of his nearly 6 years here include the time shortly after he was hired when he took the blame for not sending a car to pick up Howard's mother.
Okay, so for those of you who aren't aware, when Howard first came to Sirius, they had his parents on the program, and somebody forgot to send a car for his parents, for the boss's parents. I don't
Jared's
know.
Jared's job is totally unnecessary.
Thank you. Now we're in the rhythm.
Yeah, I got you.
So anyway, so okay, no biggie. You know, I then figure, okay, it'll get rescheduled. But now I don't know where my plan of action is. You know, do I act up? Not now. At this point, I'm thinking, well, is it even Tim Sabian that I'm speaking to, or writing to, or not speaking to, but writing to? So then, my dear friend Al Rosenberg, he happened to be up at Sirius and having lunch with Al, and he said, oh, by the way, he's like, I understand that you're going to be meeting with a friend of mine. And at which point, thankfully, right in front of Al, he has Jared schedule the appointment. Okay, so that is where third time was the charm. So I got the appointment scheduled. Then I find out later, through a little birdie that I will not, you know, reveal, that they told me that apparently it was implied by someone, and I believe that someone to be Jared, that I went into Tim Sabian's office unauthorized to put my gift in his office, which was a complete blatant lie. Okay? So, again, I really, really feel, this is my personal feeling, I could be wrong, that he was, you know, for whatever reason, he didn't care for me and he was trying to sabotage my progress, or he just wasn't doing his job.
Jared's job is totally unnecessary. Jared's job is totally unnecessary. Jared's job is totally unnecessary.
So, and needless to say, I did get my appointment with Mr. Sabian, and it was probably one of the best days of my life. It's something I'll never, ever forget. And quite frankly, the fact that the man even took the time to have me in his office, you know, it was... I will be forever grateful to him. And, you know, he was very, very encouraging. I think what it basically came down to was that I didn't have a show already on air, anything, even a podcast. He ended up referring me to a place in New York that's very similar to Volta Radio. And I did call the woman several times, but she never got back to me. Hmm. So, you know, that wasn't just meant to be. That's the way I looked at it. I don't know if the woman's still in business, or, but he did call her, gave me her personal cell number and called her. So it wasn't just one of those things where he was putting me off or whatever.
Right.
We sat, we talked for an hour. It was a wonderful conversation. We had mutual friends, people that he had worked with, actually. So that was a thrill to, you know, catch up on you know, some of what was going on with the people that we both knew. He gave me a tremendous compliment by comparing me to did the King of All Media, he said to me, "What?" And that just gave me chills. He said, "What you have done here on Facebook," he said, "I checked out your Facebook, is very, very close to what Howard's done with his career." And, you know, it's there's a persona that's very different than the woman who's sitting in front of me. And one of the other things that he acknowledged is he said, "I surround myself with people like you," because I think he got a hunch for what my work ethic was and my passion for what I wanted to do. Now, obviously, you know, you might think, okay, this chick's nuts, because this would be no different than if I wanted to fly an airplane and I went in and said, "Oh, I want to fly an airplane." And they'd look at me and say, "Okay, well, have you ever flown an airplane before?" Right. So, I think he was trying to steer me into the direction to start some sort of a podcast. So, you know, this went on, and now that meeting was in November of 2010. So, you know, I made sure I kept them aware of what I was doing, if I was doing any appearances here and there. I would email them. At one point, he went on a show. I'm sorry. This was really what tied things up. I'm sorry. I'm backtracking. I kind of got caught in the Stern shuffle, because that meeting was November of 2010. Okay. Then he went. Nobody knew whether or not he was going to renew his contract. For those who listen to Stern would know this. Unfortunately, I have a room full of people who don't listen to Stern anymore. One, Jesse, because he said since he got divorced, he doesn't listen to him anymore. So while that's very admirable of you, I'll discuss that with you later.
Don't bring that up.
But anyway, so it's like I'm rambling on, and Randy's playing with his cell phone over there.
He's playing Words with Friends, I think.
You know, but
I'm listening.
So I'm listening. I was hoping that you'd give me some input, but you just want to know what happened to my mother.
I asked a question. You shut down my question. I wanted to know what your mama did in jail. That was absolutely interesting to me.
She spent a couple nights in jail, and she's living with me now, as I've stated in the past.
I never got that part.
Okay.
I never got that part.
Oh, that's right, because you showed up late the first show.
Yeah.
Where's Max when I need him?
Let's get him on the phone. Job that I can't afford salary.
Anyway. We don't need Max to be calling.
So, where was I? I don't even remember where I was.
You were complaining that no one in this room listens to Stern.
Well, no, prior to that, my story. Thank you, my cameraman. So nobody knew. That went on till like late December, I think. And then for those who are fans of the show, there's Bubba the Love Sponge, who was on his channel 101. And then nobody knew if he was going to renew his contract. So there was a lot that went on in between, and I kept on top of, I let them know that I was still around, okay? And there were a few people from Facebook that have been my followers that knew what I was trying to do. And there were those that didn't know. And those that knew went ahead and sent him emails, and I had no control over it. And I felt blessed that they were doing that for me, that they were in support of me. And as well, one woman said to me, I had no idea that this is what you wanted to do. You need to make it known. You need to let people know this. Now, right around this same time, I thought, well, you know what? That makes sense. Right around the same time, Tim Sabian went on the Superfan Roundtable and said to everyone, "I'm giving you out my email address. I want everyone to tell me what they want to hear and what they want to, what kind of programming they would like to hear on Howard 101. Well, I started a campaign, much like one of our former local disc jockeys did, who's friendly with Stern, for another show. He wanted to be on Regis and Kelly, and he started a campaign to get people to write in. I asked the people write in and ask him to give me a show. Well, this annoyed Tim, and apparently I heard back, and I was told, please stop with the emails, because
what,
I'm
with
too
email?
Busy.
How many people did you get to email?
I don't know the head count, but I was told that they were the same 10 people. So I don't, and then it was like, wah, 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 that really sucked. But I had no control over people that were kind enough to write in. So I then reversed all that. So, okay, sometimes, my point is that sometimes you make mistakes. Sometimes, like I said, there's no handbook, and maybe that was a mistake, maybe not. But just recently, a couple months ago, I called. I said, I have the number, and I'm not going to abuse it, but I'm going to call. And because I had an idea for a show very similar to this, but and I had a treatment, and I also had a potential sponsor. Okay, which I can go into when we come back for a commercial break. So I have this potential sponsor.
We still got to get our guest in.
Right, which we will soon. It's okay, and in 3 minutes we'll get our guest in. So I had this potential sponsor, and I had this idea for a show much like this one. So I tried to put together a treatment, and I sent it to Tim, and he sent it, he forwarded it to Jim McClure. For those of you who know the show, Jim McClure is actually in charge of like development of shows, okay? So, I was really excited. I mean, his actual title is Director of Programming for Special Projects. So I was just thrilled. So I mentioned the sponsor, the potential sponsor, and, I pitched the show, and, because Jim emails me and he says, Tim suggested, I hit you up and let me see what you have. And I don't hear anything. And about 3 weeks ago or 2 weeks ago, I don't know the time frame, I hear my potential sponsor now has a commercial on Howard. So obviously they're paying attention. And even though that didn't pan out, I thought, you know what? This comes down to I need a product. And that's how we started with this show. I thought the timing was right. What was going on in Philadelphia radio was right. The timing, because not only are we going to be heard in Philadelphia, but if enough publicity gets out there about my past and my father's story and what happened to him in Philly radio, and then you guys came in. And, so that's pretty much the journey. And that's who I feel tried to sabotage me, who thankfully is no longer there. And, that would be Mr. Jared Fox. So I'm sure he's not listening, but I'll send him a copy of this show.
Jared's job is totally unnecessary. Jared's job is totally unnecessary.
So when we come back, I'm going to hear that in my sleep. When we come back, I am going to bring in our special guest, comedian Joe Long, and we'll talk to him a little bit. And he actually was a Stern fan, so maybe I'll be able to get into more conversation about this with him.
Have you been injured at work and you just don't know what to do? You're stuck in bed, flat on your back. You need that special attention that a large firm just can't give you. Call the law offices of Christopher J. Frelick at 610-693-5520. That's 610-693-5520. Serving Western Berks County, home and hospital visits are available. Get the compensation you deserve. No fee until you win. That's the law offices of Christopher J. Frelick at 610-693-5520.
Do you listen to talk radio?
I listen to NPR. I'm an NPR junkie.
Have you ever listened to Howard Stern or Oprah Winfrey?
I started listening to Howard Stern when I was 9 years old, and I listened to him, pretty much until I moved out of his listening area,
right.
And then he went to Sirius, and I don't subscribe to Sirius, so I stopped listening to him.
What about Oprah Winfrey? Did you ever watch her or listen to her radio show?
Not much, no.
If there was a show out there that said that they were going to be bridging the gap between Howard Stern and Oprah Winfrey, do you think that that'd be a show you'd be interested in listening to?
Yes, because I think that NPR is kind of all that I know about of talk radio.
Right.
So I don't know if there's anything out there that's well advertised that kind of gives that audience something else to listen to.
I take offense to people who accuse me of being a fanatic or obsessed with Howard Stern. I understand he's the rock star of talk radio. But if I had an equal admiration and respect for Barbara Walters or, let's say, Oprah, no one would even bat an eyelash. I didn't enter the broadcast arena to backsell music, read the news, or forecast the weather. I did it so that I could be an honest talk radio personality like my father and the king of all media, Howard Stern.
Tabitha, wrong scene.
Sorry.
cut.
Welcome to darkbrain.com, a bold experiment in web comics. Only here will you find web comics with amazing art, original music, and voiceover narration.
Hey, this is Patrick Bean, and every Wednesday night I listen to The Low Low Show on VoltaRadio.com.
Her name is Lois, and she makes my penis stand. Whenever I think about her busty cans, she is so fine.
No clue why that just went.
Oh, well, anyway, that was Little Mikey, for those of you who aren't aware. He made me a song parody. Unfortunately, it just cut off. We're having some technical difficulties tonight, but follow Little Mikey on Twitter at Little Mikey SP. Anyway, we're going to bring in our special guest this evening, comedian Joe DeLong, who is the creator of the No Gag Reflex Tour. Welcome in, Joe.
How's it going?
How are you?
Welcome. Pull up a trash can. You're very lucky that we have. We're very lucky that we have air conditioning this evening because we didn't the last few shows. But anyway, I wanted to welcome everybody. Welcome everyone, Joe. Tell us a little bit about the No Gag Reflex Tour.
Well, the name came from years of practice. It was a name that I came up with randomly when filling out my bio, and it just kind of stuck, considering my material consists of a whole lot of dick jokes.
Right. That's how we met, right? On Twitter with our dick jokes, because I love dick.
Yes, I think you retweeted a few of my tweets.
And then you defriended me on, you asked me to be your BFF, or your gay BFF, and then you defriended me.
I never defriended you.
It happened by accident.
We're still following each other. We're still friends. And I liked your page today.
Oh, well, thank you. I would hope so. You're on the show. Anyway, what I want to know, when did you come out?
To my friends, I came out, I had a best friend when I was in high school. I came out to her when I was probably like 14 or 15.
Okay.
She was pretty liberal, and she was openly bisexual, so uh-huh. I was cool. It was cool coming to her, but I actually went to a conservative Christian high school, so
ooh.
It was, you know, a whole lot of hellfire and damnation and a whole lot of denial.
Did your parents know, or was that?
No, I came out afterwards. My parents aren't religious at all. Right.
Wait a minute. They're not religious, but you went to a Christian school?
Yeah. Well, okay, so
were the priests supportive?
Well, that was Catholic, but no, the Christian, the Christians. I went there because I had a lot of problems in public school. Mm-hmm. I was teased a lot for being a fat little kid, and I was in therapy. And my mother thought it would be good to take me out of public school and put me into a Christian school because she thought they would treat me better than those kids. But it was a whole other kind of discrimination that I had to go through with that. But I came out when I was 15, then to my mom when I was about 19.
Oh, really?
And then
was that tough? I mean, were you trying to hide it?
No, I really assumed she knew. I actually came out to her. I was on my way out the door going to Great Adventure with a friend, and her name was Roxanne. I remember listening, who's Roxanne? I said to a friend, she's like, why don't you bring home any girls? And I said, because I'm gay. And she said, then why don't you bring home any boys?
Yeah,
because she
Yay,
knew.
Mom.
She knew.
Yeah,
she was just waiting for that moment for me to say it.
I think my brother's gay. I think most mothers do know. And I think in many ways, most fathers do know. But I mean, the kids at school, do you think they knew?
I don't think so, because at the time, like, I was very much closeted, you know? And also, I was confused, because you're going through puberty, you're having all these feelings, and then I'm being told repeatedly that what I'm feeling is wrong.
Right.
So I kept questioning, I wasn't sure.
That was in school?
Yeah, okay. We would have, like, weekly Bible class. We would go to chapel. So it was a lot of that. So it was hard for me to accept it myself, so I really didn't come out fully until after high school, when I could really sort of, you know, take a look at my life and realize what it is that I want and who I really was. And
well, that was great. I mean, at least it was still young. You know, 14 and then 19 to your mom.
Since then, I've never really been in, but it's funny because only about 2 months ago, I finally came out to my grandfather.
Oh, that must be
because he,
is your father living? First of all, I'm sorry.
My biological father is dead. I call my stepdad dad because he's been my dad.
And he was cool with it.
He was cool with it. He also knew. I mean, listen, when I was 17, the only thing I wanted were tickets to see Bette Midler at Radio City.
Yeah.
So it's like I think the day I had to be at the mall when the Beaches soundtrack came out, there were clues.
Did you play with Dawn Dolls? Because my brother and I used to play with Dawn Dolls.
No, I never played with dolls. I didn't fit into that. But I'm sorry, where were we?
I wanted to ask you, was that an outlet for you to come out? Or I guess not. I mean, when did you start your comedy career?
I started comedy. I'd written a play in college and some scripts, and I actually had a play put on. It was a comedic play, and it was a one-act comedy. And people had told me for years that they thought I was funny, and they said I should try my hand at stand-up, but I was never really brave enough to do it. I never had enough self-confidence.
You must have been scared shitless.
I was terrified.
Now, did the play that you wrote, did that have gay overtones?
It did. Okay. It was actually autobiographical based on something that happened to me, because by that point I was totally out. And then that went over so well, and so I thought, well, I'll try my hand at stand-up. And I did 7 minutes at the Stress Factory in New Brunswick, an open mic night, and I've been doing it ever since. It's been about 3 years now.
Well, I'm going to give out the number real quick if anybody wants to call in and talk to you. It's 267, our hotline, 639-3613. So, being on the road a lot.
On the road. The Turnpike of New Jersey, being the road. Yes.
Oh, I was gonna ask you, do you get a lot of road cock?
Not a lot. What define road cock? Are you talking about rest stops, that sort of thing? Glory holes along the New Jersey Parkway?
Most heterosexual comics, they have their stories of how much road pussy they get. I mean, one of my favorite books is I Killed, and there are a lot of stories, and there's a whole section in there of, all the road pussy that, so.
Okay. Yeah. No, I've never gotten a lot of road.
I'm not discriminating.
It's never really been presented to me. I don't know if there's a lot of comedic groupies or a lot of, people I can hook up with after the shows, but hey, if they're there.
So were you ever bullied aside from the little fat kid? Were you ever bullied for being gay?
Actually, no, because I came out later, and then by that point I had developed such close friendships that once I came out, people were okay with
me. You were insulated from all those type of people.
Yeah.
Insulated, but you had your group of friends.
I did. And then all the friends I've made since then, I've never really been in the closet. So coming out is such a foreign thing.
Have you ever met any homophobic comics? Like, when you put together this tour, the No Gag Reflex, are they afraid, there's somebody's going to think I'm gay, No, I love it.
Yeah, it's not too much?
No, not at all. All right. You're talking to a Jewish gal.
You should see the image I came up with, but, it's a...
Or a half-Jewish gal.
No, I've actually never really experienced anything. I never played a gay club.
Really?
I'd only played straight clubs, and it wasn't on purpose. It's just that that's just where, the opportunities presented itself. And it actually was pretty cool because being the only gay comic on the bill, I sort of stood out a little more than the other guys. But I got invited to go up to Massachusetts, to Provincetown, which is a very big gay community, to play for Bear Week.
Nice. Yeah, you are a bear.
I am a bear. Which
does everybody know what a bear is?
Describe ever to.
A bear would be a heavier, larger gay man with body hair.
Right.
And it's called the bear. And so it was literally just filled with guys like me walking up down the street in sarongs. Everyone had a sarong. I didn't have a sarong. I didn't get the memo. But I played my first actual gay club. It was like a little dungeon. It was every stereotype you could imagine.
Right.
But it was fun. It was a lot of fun. It was cool. And I lost my gay club virginity.
Now,
finally.
For me, honestly, when I first met you, my gaydar was way off. I didn't realize you were gay until I heard your stand. Oh, guess what? Wait, you get that a lot?
I get that a lot.
From the comics or from audience members?
People in general. Like, at work, because I don't walk in with a big, sandwich board saying I like cock. So it's
you're not very flamboyant.
I'm not.
But that would be good shtick.
But I do have my inner queen. I mean, she does come out. Don't get me wrong.
Will she come out tonight?
We'll see.
Okay. We have a caller. Jesse, can you? Hi, welcome to the Lolo Show. What's your name and where are you from?
Hello, this is Demetrius. I'm calling from New York.
Oh, hi, Demetrius. What can I do for you? Would you like to speak with Joe or one of the...
I was looking at his pictures on Facebook, and he's a peach. I mean, he's just beautiful.
Demetrius, have you friended me?
I don't know if you know... Do you know Joe Musky?
I don't. What's his screen name? I may have hooked up with him. It's hard to remember.
Wait, I'm sorry, Joe. I have to. It's hard for the callers to hear, unfortunately, so I'm going to have to repeat.
I can't hear anything he's saying.
I'm sorry. So, Joe, you had a question for Demetrius?
No, that's okay. That's okay.
He wanted to know if you friended him on Facebook yet.
Not yet. I was going to, but, you know, I just wanted to ask him one question. His last name, is that any indicator?
Nice. Good question.
There's only one way to find out.
He said, he said there's only one way to find out, Demetrius.
But is he cut? Because I do like a little cheese with my cracker.
Unfortunately, there will be no cheese, Demetrius.
No cheese, Demetrius. No cheese.
No cheese at all. I also like that big black boy you have in
there. Oh, Randy's a favorite of our...
It's a handle.
What was that? I'm sorry. What did you say?
I want to use the braids as a handle.
Oh, boy. There you go, Randy. You're complaining you're single?
That's why. That's the game in creep.
Is Randy
noise.
Single, really?
Well, wait a minute. Demetrius, let me... One of the other things that I heard in the replay, you were talking about you had a gay friend growing
up. I still have a gay friend.
That's what I wasn't sure, because I didn't know if you were no longer friends with him.
No,
he's
one of my best friends. He's like my brother. He's
awesome.
Like, we're close. Like, that's one of my best friends in the whole world.
So, Demetrius, do you have any other questions?
Not really. I'm just sitting here thinking about Randy and those braids.
Oh.
Thank you.
Do you want to have a threesome with Joe and Randy?
Oh, I would love that. Can I be in the middle of that sandwich?
How about you ask Randy permission first? Let's look at Randy's
Joe,
take on that.
Let's all not talk about. Joe just pointed to the stool. He said, here's a stool. Pull it right off. He's ready and willing for you,
it's
Demetrius.
It's a sandwich.
Where are you at again?
I'm in New York.
Oh, New York. Okay, not too far.
I can come down there right now.
Joe, didn't you move to Manville or something? I did.
Right. Might as well have been Cocktown. Yeah.
That's too easy.
It was really called Manville.
Manville is the town I live in. Yeah, Manville.
You live in Manville.
Manville is the town.
He lives in Manville.
You can't do a joke about that because it's not believable.
I wish I could hear anyone. I can't hear it.
He got to me, unfortunately, Demetrius. Is there any parting words?
It is unfortunate because I do want to hear their voices, but I can't.
Well, yeah,
I can only hear you, Lois.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm the
sweet.
Last person.
I mean, you are a can of peaches. I love you, but I can't hear anything.
Okay. Unfortunately, so you can listen to the show. We will put the call to an end.
There is delay. I can't wait to hear myself. I want to hear Randy's reaction to me. I want to hear anything from Randy.
I love you. How about that?
Oh, he says he loves you.
I love you. Keep calling.
I want those braids for a leash, and I want to bring them along.
Oh my God!
Well, come on, that's complimentary. If a lesbian called me,
I just told the man I love him.
Baby, all I want to do is taste chocolate.
Go to Dairy Queen.
You are a fudgicle, and I'm ready to eat it.
He said to go to Dairy Queen.
Keep calling.
Dairy Queen. How apropos?
You see the thing. I'm desensitized to a lot of this. I got to be honest with you.
Okay.
I've been, like I said,
you've been hit on a lot of times.
No, not hit on, but one of my very best friends is a gay man, and I don't. We're not the type of friends where I like, all right, you could be gay, but don't tell me what you do.
Right.
No, we're friends.
So you hear all this. I'm sorry, what was that, Demetrius?
He must have some jungle fever.
I've heard that term in so long. Yes,
come on,
sure,
Randy, we're
sure.
In love.
Yeah, yes, of course we are.
So I guess
Stevie says, you got jungle fever.
You can't all talk at once. It's hard for him to hear. Go ahead. I'm sorry, Demetrius.
I can't hear a thing. I'm going to go.
Okay.
But I'm going to keep listening.
Okay. Well,
love
thank you,
guys. You.
Thank you for being a fan, and love you too.
Love you so much. Love you, Lois.
Bye. Take
Thanks
care.
For calling.
Oh,
bye.
So
bye, Randy.
Bye. Why is he not hitting on you? Like, he has a better chance with you.
He was hitting on. Well, yeah, you know, it's a challenge. It's you know, men do like a challenge.
Everybody likes a challenge.
I feel completely left out.
Yeah. Well, that's messed up.
Everybody likes it. No, I do not like a challenge.
No?
Really? And on that note, I think that's a perfect segue. I don't even think you realize you did that, but we have. Let me set this up for Joe, because you didn't get to listen to the replay. Was it last week, or did you? Did you hear the replay?
I didn't, no.
I'm on Match.com.
Okay.
You're from everybody's from. Have you ever been on Match.com?
I have not.
Okay. So I'm back on Match.com. I've been on it maybe two times since I've been single. First time, you know, had some decent people that I met, had some decent dates, I would say. I don't go on many dates. I'm very, very selective. And this time around, it's been a disaster. So basically, I'm just using Match.com as a way to promote the show.
Okay.
Now, you know, hey, look, some guys are probably pissed off. And, you know, I get some emails because I have a cut and paste. One guy, as a matter of fact, just today, somebody, are you cutting and pasting? You know, he found me out. And, you know, I mean, some might be turned off by this. But you know what? First of all, if someone is really, truly going to be interested in me, then they're going to be interested in what I'm doing, quite frankly. That's first and foremost. You know, I think Howard said it this week. I know I'm referencing Howard again. But he was talking with Gloria Estefan because she's had 30 plus some years of marriage. You know, the gays like Gloria, right? We like
We love, okay.
And I consider myself one of family because, you know, my brother's gay. So, you know, and he said, you know, happy wife, happy life. I mean, wouldn't you agree even in the gay community? Happy wife, happy life.
Absolutely, yeah.
So I've been cutting and pasting this whole little deal that, you know, to let them know this is what I'm into. And, you know, to me, it's no different, you know, than they're flaunting their goods, like their boats and, you know, I mean, or they're posting their salaries. I mean, the men I know.
That is so desperate.
But isn't that gross? Because to me, it's like, why would you want advertise for a woman who's going to be a gold digger, which I'm not. And like, so to me, it's no different than you posting pictures of your boats and, you know, pimping your kids out. You know, it's no, like, to me, that's what I want to do. That's my love. That's my passion. So, you know, I'm sorry if somebody is insulted by it. But anyway, so this dude, he friends me on Facebook. He's smart enough to come over. And I start getting emails then through Match.com again from him. I'm thinking, this is weird. Why is he sending me? And then he's sending me email. He's really, you know, complimenting me. You're so wonderful. You're funny. You're great. And by the way, I get it. Like, when, you know, when I do the little sex posts and stuff, he gets it. And he's an actor, by the way. So I guess that's why he gets it, you know. And not anybody famous. He does, like, these, I think, like, what are those things in theme parks that, you know, the Pennsylvania Dutch shows or what, I don't know.
Oh, he does like the, yeah, I know what you're talking about.
I didn't look up in that much.
Philadelphia Renaissance.
Something, like, I'm assuming because of the picture. So he posts this whole long, I mean, it was really long. Randy has a copy of it on my Facebook page. And the best part, he's telling me it's tacky that I'm promoting the show on Match.com, but he proceeds to put this whole long thing down and then post his profile, his headshot. He posts a different headshot.
What a headshot it is.
Right, and our wonderful Dr. Ivan doctored it up a bit. That was quite funny. I mean, what did you say? It reminded you of Simon.
It was like Simon and Simon. If anybody remembers the 80s show, Simon and Simon.
But a really old and scruffy and maybe I've been drinking too much Simon and Simon, right?
Yeah, it's a weathered Simon and Simon.
So we were discussing this last week because Randy was just his. I didn't really read it. I briefly skimmed it, you know.
This is my favorite dude ever.
So go ahead, read some of
this. So what are my highlights here? I'm going to skip right to the end because this is my favorite part. Just cut down on the daily boob photography. And keep that for your private life and your man. Affectionately, Simon and Simon.
But the best was, didn't you say he and not only did I, that was perfect for last week's show, because for those of you who'd listen, and this cracks me up with all the dudes that are liking all my pictures, you know, and they should listen to the show, because if they listened, they would have found out that if they go onto my website, they'll see full frontal
nip.
Boob shots, nips, like, you know, but some of them weren't smart enough to actually listen to the show, so they didn't catch on to that. But so it was a perfect segue to announce that. But one of the things that we were talking about, challenge, is this dude thinks he's a challenge.
Where he says that in here. Lolo running. Stop that teenage behavior and act like the interesting, classy woman I know you are. Stop this bullcrap behavior, as all of you know, low-life, horny men who view your show are hoping for a fantasy chance to meet you. Is this too strong for you to handle? I told you I was a challenge, and I always tell the truth. How does it feel to meet your match?
Quite frankly, I didn't even pay attention to what he wrote. Number one. So it's funny to say, how does it feel to meet your match? Because I wasn't even paying attention to him. But again, life is a challenge. You know, this morning I had to dig poop out of my dog's rear end because it got stuck
on
his. That's a challenge,
yeah.
Especially when the little bastard, the one-eyed monster, wants to bite my handle. I don't need a challenge when it comes to a man in my life.
You're wrong.
I mean, wouldn't you agree? I mean, how do you feel about this?
Well, it's kind of creepy that he's even saying these things to you, talking about, you know, acting as if he is your man already.
Or as if he knows me.
Right.
Right.
He's sort of insinuating himself into in your life. And it's very creepy. How old is this guy?
Probably around my age, 40,
yeah.
mid to late 40s.
He's questioning.
He posted that on your wall?
On the wall.
For everyone to see.
With his headshot at the bottom. Okay, but now the most recent post, which was a few days ago, right? Doesn't he say that I'm tacky? That's there too.
I didn't get to the tacky. Just show you how this guy thinks. Has any man had the courage to ever stand up to you and tell you the truth as I do? Or do they just whimper away and do as you please because you're attractive with great boobs?
Well, at least he said I had great boobs. Oh, well, he doesn't know.
Right there.
I don't know. Who knows? This guy's a woman.
So, do you have any, like, stalker types from...
After this. Demetrius from New York.
Maybe Mackel will take a little dip. I don't know. I'm open.
I'll have to go on to Match.com.
No, you know what to do? Friend him and come on to him.
I'll work my charms.
Yeah, I mean, he's driving the hell out of... Hopefully, I mean, I haven't checked yet, but hopefully he unfriended me. I don't know. I mean, it's going to get to the point soon that I'm going to have to block him.
I found
him.
The tacky bit.
He said so.
Use Match to meet people just to get them to tune into your show. It's tacky.
Well, it worked.
I know.
You might as well get your money's worth out of the whole thing.
Do what you got to do.
Right. I mean, come on. So you were telling me in an email, we were going back and forth, and you said that you just recently broke up with someone, or...
Oh, I broke up with someone, yeah. It was about a year ago, but then we went back, we were talking back and forth, and it was kind of iffy, but...
How'd you meet?
We actually met on an online wedding dating site called Adam for Adam. It's a gay
dating
site. No. And it's, you know, it's not for hookups, but most of the pictures are cock pictures. So it's like, you kind of know.
That's plentyoffish.com is like that.
I've been on
plentyoffish.
Too,
is like, they're all about hookups. Yeah, but quite frankly, Match is starting.
Straight guys, too. I mean, straight guys post their dicks, too. It's not just a gay thing.
Oh, well, I know.
You know, you probably get a lot of them, right? You know?
Yeah. Well, I welcome you. Well, not from strangers. Well, I'm a sexter. I'm heavy into sexting.
Okay.
So I welcome them because I used to actually, I wasn't turned on by the male anatomy at one point when I was younger. Yeah, okay. If I wanted to get a little horny, I would look at nude women.
Okay.
But
have you dabbled in the ladies?
Yes, I have.
Yeah?
Once
in college.
No, I didn't go to college.
Okay, sorry.
No, that's okay. In a bar, a bathroom, in a bar.
Really? Okay.
Yeah. Now I talk about that.
Well, hold on. What all happened in this bathroom?
Oh, you got the straight guy's attention now.
Yeah, of course.
what happened in this bathroom?
Well, you know, during sex talk, and this is one thing that
was this a classy bar?
No. But she was a beautiful girl. I had done pictures of her for the salon. Well, I shouldn't even go into that. But anyway. But no, what's interesting, because I wanted to bring this up, I think a lot of homophobic men, a lot of straight men who have issue with gays, aren't in touch with their freaky side. And what I mean by that is, like, when I'm, like, I don't know, we've all been there, where you're just, like, so turned on, where you're just, like, fuck me in the ass. Like, you'll say anything. You know what I mean?
I've been there.
You just go to that place where, like, you will say and do anything. I mean, just recently I was in a sexting session with someone where, you know, I was like, get me a girl and I'll do this to her while you do, you know, I was just all over that. But I'm not a homosexual. You know, I love men.
Yeah.
You know, so, but I know in fantasy, and when you go to that place, so my theory is men do go to that place, straight men, but they don't understand it, mm-hmm. and it scares them. And I think that's where the anger comes out, and that's where...
Well, I found that a lot of homophobic men I've met in my life actually are gay. mm-hmm. or will hook up on the DL, as they call it. I mean, I hooked up with a guy. I'm not lying. He was literally a skinhead. I mean, he above his bed, he had a Confederate flag.
That didn't scare you?
No, well, I had to stare at it. He was fucking me, but it was hot as hell. It was so hot because, I mean, he was, if you met him, I mean, he's, you know, faggot this and faggot that, And then when we're alone and he's drinking, suddenly he wants it. And I'm like, wow, that's really interesting. It's like those Republicans that are so anti-gay marriage, they end up hooking up with someone in the bathroom, stall the airport, you know, tap three times.
Well, even like we mentioned Governor McGreevy last week, right? And how do you feel about like that? That men, gay men that live in the closet and go on to have families and like...
It's frustrating. I understand for a different generation, there was really no other option that I felt comfortable with. You know, I mean, I came out in the 90s and even then it was like a whole different world compared to where it is now. I mean, now we have gay marriage in six states. I remember when Don't Ask, Don't Tell was being installed and now it's been repealed. So we've come a long way in a short time. But if you're a man in your 50s and 60s and you grew up and came of age in the 60s and 70s where you had not many choices. And not a lot of allies, even straight allies.
True.
You know,
that's
I mean, we had like Stonewall and there were a lot of other small underground clubs, but you couldn't really be open.
Yeah.
So I understand.
True. That's a good way of looking at it. Yeah.
I mean, it was like the lesser of two evils. Like they either had to be miserable or try to have some semblance of a quote normal life.
Right.
I understand. But I think McGreevy, I mean, he's not that old. He could have come out, but some people don't know. I mean, they say they don't know until they're older.
No, he knew. He was doing it with somebody, and, you know, he knew.
But I mean, he was doing that in his 30s and 40s. But I look at, like, someone like Meredith Baxter Burney from who came out, and she's, like, 50s. And she said she didn't think she was a lesbian until she, you know, met this woman. I think, I don't understand how that can happen.
That's so strange to me.
When you're, you know, going through puberty and you're discovering who you are, you really kind of do know at that point you're on the path, but to be 40 and 50 and suddenly wake up and say, I'm a lesbian.
Maybe she was just busy.
She could have been. Yeah. But no, it's, but then again, I'm not going to say it's not true. I mean, because who am I to judge, you know? Like, I can't, I'm not going to be homophobic about it.
Right.
Oh, but it's weird.
So has a man ever been a challenge to you? Like, are you the challenge? Like, what's...
No, I'm not the challenge. I'm so easy. Oh my God, I don't even know. some guys have been a challenge, but like, I have definitely hooked up with my share of straight guys. And that's the challenge. It's fun.
Right.
That's fun trying to
cross the line.
Because
it's just wrong,
It is. It's just wrong. It's kind of hot, you know, being like the first one to get there. I think, like, probably straight guys can relate if they want to be with a lesbian.
You're going to scare the hell out of the straight guys now. Yeah. They always think the gay guy's running after. Unfortunately, we have to go to a break, but we will resume this conversation, and we're going to hear from Sister Blue next.
You can answer yourself. You look to me for knowledge. When those books are upon the shelf, you're sucking all my blood, a pass out of mind. You're draining all the life from me and stealing all my time. Don't bother me, let me be. Stop messing with me. Now you're turning towards me with questions in your eyes. Well, baby, I'm no Buddha. Your nonsense I despise. So if you're drowning, better tread the sea of blue. Cause you'll be holding your breath, waiting for me to swim to you. Don't bother me, let me be. Stop messing with me. We'll be right back.
If your brain ain't working and your intuition is cold, just accept that your wisdom is dumb, the truth remains untold. Don't bother me, let me be, stop messing with me. So buy yourself an encyclopedia, find yourself some rope. If you don't get off my back, your life ain't got much hope. I can't bear much more of this, you're a rep without a clue. Better have yourself in chance if I hear one more wish from you. Don't bother me, let me be, stop messing with me.
Think of having a baby, but you're tired of the same old OBGYN experience?
The endless lines in the waiting room?
The hideously unfashionable hospital gowns?
The uncomfortable stirrups and ice-cold salad tongs?
Well, come on down to OBGY Not, where we offer top-notch medical exams,
assembly line style.
All of our technicians have undergone 3 weeks of training and a manicure.
Our conveyor belts will whisk you away to the sounds of Enya while we get up Enya.
No more waiting rooms.
And with our rapid-fire examination style, those ice-cold tools will still be warm from the last patient.
So come on down to OBGY Not. When you think OBGY Not, think why not you.
Have you been injured at work and you just don't know what to do? You're stuck in bed, flat on your back. You need that special attention that a large firm just can't give you. Call the law offices of Christopher J. Frelick at 610-693-5520. That's 610-693-5520. Serving Western Berks County, home and hospital visits are available. Get the compensation you deserve. No fee until you win. That's the law offices of Christopher J. Frelick at 610-693-5520.
And welcome back. We were just talking about relationships. We have in the studio comedian Joe DeLong. And before I forget, I definitely want to mention this because a Facebook friend of mine is a wonderful person. She does so much for pit bulls. And this is very important because they're having a fundraiser. And it's you go to rockandrescue.net. That's rock. The letter N, rescue.net. October 1st in the Maryland area. If you're in that area, please, please, please head on down there because she does incredible work with pit bulls. I mean, you know, and she's funny as shit. I'm telling you one thing, if I ever did go lesbo, that's the gal for me. I'm taking over. I'll probably have to murder her husband and just take her over. But definitely check that out, rockandrescue.net on October 1st in the Maryland area. So anyway, Joe, so we were talking about relationships mm-hmm. and, you know, my issues with Match.com and your experiences with online. So you said you had been in a relationship and get off again. Where does it stand now?
It's way off. And will never be on again.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, it's okay. It's for the best. You know, it wasn't really for me. It was actually my first interracial relationship.
No. Randy.
Why is it? Now we really need the Jungle Fever soundtrack here.
But he was...
Give me that porn music.
What ethnicity was he? A race or whatever you want to phrase it.
What's that?
Was he a black man?
He was a black man.
Wrong music.
He was a black man.
Like he was born black?
He was born black. Okay. He'll probably die black, yeah.
You go black, you don't go back. Yeah. That's what they said.
But he was DL, as they sell him, DL, so he would not come out to his family.
That was a big issue, I bet.
It was, because I don't want to be someone's dirty little secret. You know, it's 2000. 2011, I don't need to, you know, like I would bring him around my family.
It's kind of like being a side chick, you know?
Yeah, yeah, no, it was, that was the big thing. He refused to come out of the closet. He met some of my friends, but he would not ever be, you know, open. So
how old is he?
He was 28. So
he should, still though, he should, well, sometimes at 30, you kind of find your way. You find out who you are.
Yeah, no, he knew who he was. I mean, he told me he knew he was gay, but like even on his Facebook profile, he kept it interested as women.
No, then you're not. You're not in touch with who you are. You're not. Yeah, you're.
No, well, it was the charade he was keeping up, you know, for his friends and all that.
Right. What I mean is, I was married before. I was married twice, but the first one doesn't count. I was a kid. But the second one, I mean, you know, you don't realize that. I didn't until I turned 30. That's when I went to him and I said, I'm unhappy.
Right.
Because you just live this pretend life, whether it's gay or not. So that's what I mean by maybe when he turns 30, he'll really get to know who he is and what he wants, you know, in life. I mean, I know that happens.
Well, I hope he does.
I know a lot of people that happens for. Right. For some reason, at 30, you seem to kind of, you know, find your way.
Well, it's that big birthday, you know, where it's you're leaving your childhood, you know, the adolescence that you can extend into your 20s.
Right.
And then, like, at 30, you start thinking, like, marriage, and then maybe that's when you start taking
it. I was thrilled to turn 30.
Really?
But, now, I wanted to go more into this this whole relationship discussion because, you know, we were talking about men being a challenge and, you know, a lot of men I mentioned on a prior show, they feel with me anyway, I don't know if you fit into this personality type, but a lot of men seem to be argumentative with me. And maybe it goes back to they feel that they have to be a challenge. But, you know, that I don't get. I don't need any more challenges in my life.
Right.
And, you know, it was interesting because a few weeks ago I happened to see Jamie Foxx on Kimmel. And he's going to play a clip of what he said.
Usually, like on Oprah, we lie.
Uh-huh.
I want a woman who's got her own thing and independent and she can... And that's not what you want. You want a woman that just stay at the crib. And just, you know, if she looked too good, you want her to dress in a gunny sack. You don't want none of that.
Right.
Now, it's funny, it was right before we started the show, Jesse and Randy and I, we all had this conversation. I feel that men in their 30s may not feel this way. I mean, you have straight girlfriends. How do they, yeah. Are they single? Like, what, is it only me? What is my, you know, like.
No, a lot of them are single and a lot of them are having the problem of finding a guy who, well, wants a serious relationship even up to 30.
Okay.
You know, even after 30, there's still, I said the adolescence is still, it's being extended more and more. I see it a lot among even my straight guy
really?
Friends. Some of them still live at home. You know, they move back home and they fall back into those patterns of just acting much younger and being less serious about, you know, life. And they keep putting everything off, you know. No one wants to grow up.
So that's in the 30s. But that's in the 30s.
Yeah, 20s and 30s, yeah.
Okay. Well, these men that I'm dating are 40, anywhere from 40 to,
you don't
say,
go younger?
40.
You don't go younger?
I was in a 10-year relationship with younger. And somebody we both know was significantly younger. And I thought that was a great situation because to me he would have been like my distraction.
Right.
You know, we had a great time together. Sex was freaking awesome.
Right.
I mean, it's funny because since I've been single, I've experienced new things. He was my first uncut man. You know, I was within a 10-year relationship.
Oh, that's right.
And
did it bother you?
No, not at all.
It's like,
you know, I thought it would because I had seen pictures of men that were uncut, and I thought it would.
Okay, well, there's uncut, and then there's uncut where. There's, you gotta like really work to get, you know.
No, I didn't have to work. He must have worked it a lot prior to me.
There's various levels of cut. Anyway,
that probably would have that would have freaked me out probably because I don't want to work. Again, I don't want to challenge. I don't want to work too hard.
Yeah. It's like the mock neck and the full turtleneck.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, do you know this from experience? Do you have any uncut friends, Randy?
I'm uncut.
Really?
How about that?
See, and he's proud and he admits it. See,
I'm
now this
Indian.
Dude.
We don't cut.
I think this guy had issues with that. So you don't have any issue with that, with saying it.
What do I care?
When you first meet a girl, do you say, by the way, I just want you to know?
That doesn't come up in dinner conversation?
A lot of guys.
If I just meet a girl, she's going to come out and tell me, hey, I shave, or hey, I You know, I got a Brazilian? No,
that's a little different.
Yeah, no, it isn't.
There are a lot of guys think? Who, if I'm meeting someone on a website, he'll send me his info. Then I say, by the way, I'm uncut. Is that a problem? And I get that a lot.
I understand that.
I guess they've just had negative experiences where people were freaked out by it and they think there's something wrong. It doesn't matter to me. I mean, I'm either way. I mean, honestly, the penis is, well, it's interesting. It's really the least interesting part of a guy, especially if you're considering dating him. So,
right.
I mean, I can work with cut or uncut. It's fine. You know, do you have a fucking brain? Like, let's start with that first.
Now, I mean, it would have been nice to be forewarned.
Yeah.
You know, but it didn't really matter. I mean,
did you freak out? Did you scream? Did you jump?
No, it was great sex. Yeah. I mean, it made me feel very very comfortable. And you know, at first I was like, I remember when I was with my second husband, he had lost a significant amount of weight, and I remember the first time we got physical. Just he had the loose skin, and I didn't know what the hell I was feeling.
Yeah.
That was a little freaky. I think that he probably should have forewarned me. By the way,
I don't warn anybody about anything personally because it's going to be a surprise.
It's you said, it's a nice little package.
Boom! It's in your butt. No warning.
Well, no, that you should definitely. Speaking of that, don't you think you should definitely have warning for that?
Yes.
How do you set that up?
Well, I mean, if you're. You mean like anal sex?
Yeah.
Well, you know what's leading to that, you know. When you're on your knees, you know what's coming. It's not like, you know.
Well,
I'm not a female, so, but I do know that a lot of my girlfriends have told me that guys will play the whole, I accidentally.
Yeah, I've heard that.
You know, stuck it in
that
there.
That has not happened with me.
But. I mean, are you a fan? Do you?
I did that once years ago. Okay. I was in my 20s, and the guy was small.
Okay.
And,
is that why you let him? Because he was small?
No, we were in that zone where you're just like, oh, yeah, you'll do anything.
Yeah. Right.
But I have to say that if I did do that with someone who was well endowed, I don't know. It would be too painful most of us. So do you have any advice?
Well, start out on top.
Lube.
Really?
Yeah, because you can really control it. You can control the movement, and you control.
Hear that, everyone? Start out on top if you want to do anal. Very interesting.
How deep it goes, and you'll, loosen yourself up a bit, and then you can.
But aren't there things like? Isn't there something you can smell or what is that?
Poppers. That's bullshit. Yeah.
It is bullshit.
I've never done it. I've unfortunately seen.
I don't do any drugs. So I don't know.
I don't really know what it is. Yeah. It's something that I've seen. It's.
The only thing I know,
subculture.
The only thing I know from poppers when I used to go to the gay dance clubs with my brother, they had them on the dance floor.
Yeah.
But I didn't. I just thought it was some kind of drug dance. Well, we're going to take another call. We have somebody on the line. Hi, this is the Lolo Show. Who am I speaking with, and where are you calling from?
Finally, I got through again.
Oh,
hello.
Hello, Max.
Why is everyone talking about penis?
Max.
It's always penis.
Max.
I'm tired of this. I'm trying to get an erection, and you're bringing the fagelish.
Max, do you have your... Max, do you have your popsicle sticks?
I can't even bother anymore. I'm disgusted. All I think now is black dicks. Knocking around.
Black uncut.
I'm going to help you out here. Okay? Listen.
Well,
now, let me ask you a question.
You do, I made something to help me out. I took two balloons and I filled them with baby oil and I'm resting them on my face right now so I can pretend that you're hovering over me with your nipples resting on my eyes.
Well, I was going to suggest that you get the gefilte fish and forget about
Open
the popsicle sticks. Forget about the popsicle sticks because I don't want you to get a splinter. So just put the popsicle sticks away. And close your eyes. Now
I got them, baby.
Okay.
I'm ready to go. Listen, Estelle is going to be home soon. So I haven't shot a load in 15 years. So let's get this party started.
Honey, you can't rush me now. All right, close your eyes. All right, now you don't have your popsicle stick.
I'm smearing the gefilte fish jello.
Put it all over your schlong.
It smells like hell in here.
I bet. Put it all over that schlong. Get the popsicle sticks out of the way and just and rub it up and down. And just imagine I'm sitting on top. top of you.
It's like a dream come true.
And my titties are nice and big, and you're pinching my nipples.
I did that. It's starting to leak. The baby oil is coming in my eye.
But he is a challenge.
I think it's going to be the only thing coming. This is terrible. The smell of the baby oil mixing with the gefilted
gas. Quiet, Max. I'm going to get on my knees now, okay? I'm bent over.
Oh, my God. The spell has never given me oral sex in my life. Nice Jewish girls don't do that.
Oh, no. Well, I'm only a half Jew, so it's okay.
So you only do it halfway?
So slide.
I have to finish myself.
So slide. He's ruining the moment. Talk about that. He's worried about the fagulas in here. And he's listen, I'm on my knees. Just close your eyes and just imagine this, okay?
I'm feeling some stiffness beginning.
Now, I'm nice and wet. My pussy is really, really wet.
I'm wet, too. I got baby oil running down my face and gefilte fish jelly.
No wonder Estelle's at the neighbors. This could take all night. How much time do we have? All right, listen, concentrate. I want you to concentrate. What do you like?
I'm aroused.
You like my titties, right?
They're on okay. My face right now, except one of your implants is just broken all
over. I'm going to take my titties, and I'm going to rest them between your nice popsicle stick schlong. Would that be tongue depressor size or like coffee stirrers?
You wouldn't believe, for a Jewish man, I do possess the Hebrew national.
Nice. Okay, so I've got your Hebrew national between my titties.
I still saw it on our wedding night and she fainted. I didn't get laid for 2 weeks after. She was afraid.
Are you done telling stories? Do you want to get off? Now you're...
Well, this part excites me, Lola.
Oh, if that's your sexy talk?
I want to start sexting with you. Off the air, I'll give you my cell phone number, and I'll send you pictures
come on, listen,
of my
listen,
chauffeur.
Listen, I'm gonna. I want to come now.
You
come
can
on, I want to come now.
For the holidays.
Oh, baby. Oh, come on. Just put that big schlong between my titties and use that gefilte fish jelly. Oh,
this
baby.
Is unbelievable.
Finally
Herman.
Oh, I mean, I'm sorry, Max. Oh, baby.
Oh my God. I'm getting ready to cream, but I'm afraid it's curdled. It's so old.
Oh, man.
It looks like old coffee, mate.
Baby, just slide that up and down in between my titties. You like that, Maxie? Pinch my nipples, baby. Oh. That's your New Year's present.
Oh, jeez, what a mess.
Now go clean yourself up.
I don't have to. It's terrible. It smells as bad as the gefilte fish.
Just mix it all together.
All right, Maxie, I'm going to say goodnight. I won't hang up on you this time.
I love you, Lola.
Oh, I love you, too.
Oh, God, you're beautiful. I have to clean this up before Estelle comes in.
Okay, all right. You
she'll
get
see the popsicle sticks and she'll know.
She'll... Good night, Maxie.
Good night, Bubba.
Bye-bye. Oh, God. Oh, well, that was interesting. I should have had you chime in, Joe. That would have been, that would have taken him to another place.
Yeah, right at the finish, Joe should have hopped into the whole thing and tried to help the old man out.
A little radio three-way.
So we have, we were talking about the clip that played, which about how,
Jamie
you know,
Fox.
Because
right.
I was accused of saying and saying that I was, what was it, not dominant, strong-willed, that I went around and said, oh, I'm strong-willed, so no. And I said, no, I don't say that. Men have told me that. And
right.
That's, you know, why I have trouble meeting someone. And, you know, that clip, I wanted to refer to that clip because that's what I believe. I believe a lot of men, especially in my age category, they say they want a strong-willed
right.
woman, and they really don't mean it. They really want you home in a gunny sack.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, because they don't want they don't want to worry that you're looking at another man or another man's looking at you. And, it, you know, it's, I said a few weeks ago that I'm the girl that everybody wants to fuck. I'm not the girl
right.
that they want to bring home to mom. And I'm having the work. We were going to have a game show actually on the show. So, cause I'm getting lonely. You
right.
know, I'm, you know, come on now. I need some physical.
Lolo needs some loving.
A other than from Max, obviously. So, you know.
With
so
battery operated.
But these two, I mean, Jesse says he is the jealous type. And Randy says, no, Randy wants, what do you want to?
I need space. I need my space. I need space.
Wow.
I'm dead serious. I do. I do not. You got to have your own thing going on. You have a job. Have a couple of hobbies.
Damn.
Stuff.
How often do you want to see
them? Yeah, I was going to say, how often do you want to see
them? That's how I stay interested in a woman. When we have the time together.
When it's a challenge.
No, it's not a challenge. You're interesting. You come, you tell me, this is what I'm doing. I work with you. This is what we're on.
Okay.
And then we move ahead together. Not you come, what are you doing? No. Like, have a life. You need a life.
And yes. How are you with your prospective mates?
I'm the same way. Like, I actually made the mistake of living with someone, and I do want someone. I want space. I want someone who has their own life. I want someone to tell me about their day. I want someone to, you know, have their own life that I can be a part of. But when you share your life with someone, everything kind of melts together, and then there's nothing's new.
Right.
You know, so I want someone who can teach me something new.
Exactly. That's exactly the point. Like, when I sit down with you, I want the opportunity to learn something that I didn't encounter.
Well, that's fine, but you're not going to be able to do that if you're too far apart, if you have too much space.
No, you'll see each other enough. If you're in a relationship, I'm not talking about, we'll spend the time, but I really prefer it when a woman just has things going on.
Plus, nowadays
doesn't have things going on? I'm sorry, Joe. What did you say?
No, I said because plus your partner can become then very dependent on you.
Oh, that's true.
You don't want someone who becomes clingy and needy. You want someone who has their own life. And
that
so if you break plans, they have something else in that home, sitting about it, worrying about it, texting you all night, wondering where you are.
I think that probably happened in my 10-year relationship. Like, we were so bonded together that we didn't go out without each other. Mm-hmm. And that is a mistake. That's something that I learned for. Yeah, I mean, one of the things. But that's what made him vulnerable, basically. But we have a little challenge. Jesse came up with a little challenge that he wants to present to us. Do you want to explain that for her? And
oh, the game here.
Wake up, Jess.
Yeah, sorry, I zoomed for a second. Yeah, got a little game for you. We're going to, I like to call it, I guess, Know the Queer.
Okay. Now, are you offended by that?
No.
I had to ask,
what's politically correct?
Yeah, what's politically correct? What's completely wrong?
It's not the word that's offensive. It's the meaning behind it. I mean, if he was actually saying that to be offensive, I would accept it.
I agree.
Mean, he's not.
Agreed.
So I don't. Although I still can't say the N-word.
I'm the same way. I was raised.
I agree.
I
for some reason can't say it.
I totally agree. And it was the way I was raised. Yeah. Because I know what it was. I'm sorry, go ahead, Randy.
Nah, people have asked me, can I say it? I always say, you can always say it. There just might be repercussions.
Are you referring to in comedy?
In any scenario. Anywhere.
Okay.
In life. Period.
Realize it.
If you say it, yeah, you can physically say it. Maybe in yourself you feel that you don't want to be like, why can't I? Listen, say it.
To me, there's no excuse to use it, and it's derived from a very negative word that comes from, you know, slavery. So I was taught never, ever to use that word. And so it's just instilled in me till, you know. So basically, Jesse's game is that he is going to give us, this is a challenge, I'll explain it real quickly. I'm sorry, Jess. He's going to give us clues, okay? He's picked out how many homosexuals have you picked out that are celebrities?
I picked out four celebrities, out of the closet, openly gay.
So he's going to give us clues.
Okay.
And each clue he gives us gets harder.
No, it gets easier.
It gets easier as
we
go along.
The first one's the hardest, and it gets easier.
So you're going to give us a clue, and we just shout out if we know who it is? Is that?
We take a turn.
Yeah. Okay, sorry.
Okay, yeah. So first clue.
So the first one, let me pull this off, is this celebrity was born January 26, 1958, and was voted funniest person in America back in 1982. I told you the first ones are hard. Anyone?
You know it?
Yeah, I know
then
it.
Then say it.
It's Ellen DeGeneres.
Yeah.
Oh.
I was thinking a man. How did you know that?
Because I know that she won that. She was a very successful stand-up.
Well, how come y'all didn't speak up?
Yeah, I
didn't know who it was directed to. I didn't know who. I thought he was going first.
Okay, all right.
Well, we have no buzzer, so you just have
just raise our hands.
Oh, all right. We'll just shout it out.
So go ahead.
All right, so I guess we're not going to go on to the other questions that I had with her since we figured her out. The next one. This celebrity was born June 15th, 1973 in New Mexico and has been active on camera since 1988, starting with a role in the movie Clara's Heart.
Ooh. What the hell is a Clara?
I know who that is. I know, Neil Patrick Harris.
Very good.
I don't know any of these. With birth dates. I'm bad at math. You freaking knew I was going to be.
When was he born? That's Doogie Howser, right?
Yeah, Doogie Howser. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Clara's Heart with Whoopi Goldberg.
How old is he?
No. All right, go ahead. Next. Yeah.
Real quick, though, I wanted to read the second one here because I like the second one that I had for him. Career got big in 1989 and reignited when he played a drug and sex-crazed psychotic version of himself in the popular stoner movie soon to be a trilogy. Yeah, that was also for him.
I still wouldn't have gotten it. Next.
All right. Next
I'm
one.
Not liking this game.
You don't know your queers.
I'm surprised how good you got.
I don't know my queers. And not only do I don't know math, so I'm not quick enough with the birthdays.
All right. We only got two more here. So this one. This celebrity was born Thursday, September 5th, 1946, on a small spice island of Zanzibar and was named Farrakh.
Brandy's got it again.
Freddie Mercury.
Wow. That's damn good.
Very interesting that Randy knew all the games.
I was going to say, Randy's getting really, really knows his games here.
I'm not homophobic in the least. I don't mess with that.
All right. Last one we got here. This celebrity was born November 19th, 1962, and started their career at age 3 in commercials.
I haven't got a clue.
No one got that
Jody
one?
Foster.
Wow.
Jody Foster. Really? Wow.
Who is that? I don't even know who that is. Who
it's
is
Jody
that?
Foster.
Oh, Jody Foster. Oh, I love Jody Foster.
She was a taxi driver.
How impressed are you?
I am super impressed.
I am Randy Tong.
Although Jody Foster technically is not out. She won't. She's a lesbian. She's like Anderson Cooper. Everyone knows.
Right.
But she won't say it.
He's got you on that one.
Well, I don't know. I mean, the information that I found about her, everything said that she was open about it and everything. But I wanted to read this one here that I found out about her, which I thought was really interesting. I'm just going to read the question to you. All through college, she had a stalker by the name of John Hinckley
Jr.
Yeah,
we know that.
I never knew that.
That's why he shot Reagan, because of her
sponsor.
Yeah.
Okay, we're all talking over each other. I want to go back to you, Jesse, because when we were talking about putting this show together, of course, I said, well, do you listen to Stern? And you said, I stopped listening to him when he got divorced. And I want to discuss that with you. Explain that to me. Why? Like, what were you thinking?
You know, there was something about him. I liked the fact of how he was this one personality on the radio, but then on the other side, he was, like it said in the newspapers, Mr. Softy. He had the wife, it was always a matter of morals, and I thought that was really
good. Let me interrupt. He still has not changed. Do you realize he did remarry, and he had his little flings, and he
said... How old is she?
What does it matter? I was with... So are you judging me now? I was with somebody who was 12 years younger.
No, but I mean, now he's in... Once he got divorced from his wife, who stuck with him from the beginning, now he's in a celebrity marriage.
All right, let me just tell you something. Okay, so he's a celebrity. Celebrities meet celebrities. Let me just remind you of something, okay, because it's interesting, because I've had the same conversation with women when I talk about Stern, and you say to them, what don't you like about Stern? And if you can nail it down, they will always go to the wife. Well, what about poor Allison? Poor Allison is happy.
Yeah, I'm not saying
is
poor
remarried.
Allison.
They had a beautiful 20-something year marriage.
Right.
Okay. They have three gorgeous girls that are doing great, that are completely well adjusted. And again, if you had continued to listen to the show, like most of the women who judge him don't listen to the show, they just hear sound bites, you'd know he is morally grounded. He's probably one of the most morally grounded people in our celebrity... you're shaking your head, yes, Joe. And you don't listen to the show anymore, too. But how do you feel?
I've been a fan. I mean, I haven't listened to it in a while because I don't have Sirius.
Right.
But I mean, I listen to him on K-Rock all the time. And I've always liked him. I thought that... I agree with Jesse that, you know, I understand why you would feel the same way, but I thought he was always very moral, and he was actually always very much for gay rights, which struck me.
Very much for gay rights,
I remember when Matthew Shepard was murdered and the things he said and how defensive he was. I mean, I thought it was great.
And still does. I mean, look at George Takei. I mean, he's pretty much revived his career, and that man is beloved on the show. If you do get to ever listen to the show, I mean, he just sat in for the full week. I mean, he's awesome. Yeah, there is no one that is more morally grounded, I think, than Howard Stern, and that is one of those misconceptions, and that's one of the reasons why I wanted to do the show, because like my father, I mean, my father was framed, and throughout, you know, the rest of his life and death, if there's anything in the newspaper, matter of fact, somebody wrote this book about murders and strip. And they took basically quotes that came right out of the newspaper, and they mentioned my mother and father. And that is such irresponsible journalism. And, you know, and this is why I completely go off. And this is why, you know, I'm in this show, Stern is a constant theme because this happened to my father. I mean, you know, I have one article that I have on Facebook that says ex-radio man slain, and then it mentions that he was a manager of an adult art club, cinnamon club, which is not even true. That he was framed so that they could, you know, politicians could take him off air. So, you know, I get it, and I understand, and even myself, I mean, another thing we'll have to say for another show is the whole empowerment of women and why I decided to, you know, show nipple. And a lot of people, I'm sure, again, I've said this before, we haven't had a chance to go into it, will probably say, how is that empowering women? By, you know, and I will go into that, because as a child, because of what my mother did, as a small child, I was taunted. And even my best girlfriends, I can remember, you know, her family, she had older brothers and sisters, and they were trying to get me to do a strip tease for them. And I remember being incredibly uncomfortable and just, you know, so, you know, I get that. So this is why it's so important to create a show and an environment, not only, like I say, to be the Jack Parr for comedians of today and introduce new music and give musicians a place to have a platform, but also to just, you know, bury the bullshit and just say, you know, we are all cut from the same cloth. I don't care if you're gay, straight, bi, black, white, red, purple, blue, whatever. And that's, you know, that's really what I'm here to do. But our time is up, unfortunately, and we'll see you, well, we will, not hopefully, no more disasters. We will see you next week on VoltaRadio.com, 9:30 p.m. to 11:30 p.m. So I just want to say thank you all for listening, and good night to Dr. Ivan. I will see you next week, and bye-bye, Daddy's Radio people.
Our guest today, Joe DeLong, can be seen Saturday, October 1st at 9 p.m. at the Tavern on the Lake in Hightstown, New Jersey. You can also follow him on Facebook. Our featured artist of the week, the Sisters Blue Band, can be seen opening for Duke Roblard Thursday, October 20th at the Sellersville Theater, and you can follow them on Facebook. For great graphics, go to drivan.com. As for the cast of the show, you can follow us, Doc Ivan, Jesse Russer, Randy Tong, and Lois Burak on Facebook. Also, follow Lois on Twitter at Southern Jew. And please be sure to like the Lolo Show on Facebook.